Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwen Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, novelist and publisher Shane Joseph. Each week at this time, we visit with a local author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask them to introduce us to their work, and we hope for a glimpse into their lives. We find out what prompts them to write and invite them to read for us from their latest books. This week, we're delighted to have another visit from Shane to tell us about his latest projects. So welcome, Shane.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Shane studied at the Humber School for Writers under the mentorship of Giller Prize and Canadian Governor General's award-winning author David Adams Richards. Redemption in Paradise, his first novel, was published in 2004. Since then, he has published three collections of short stories, Fringe Dwellers in 2008, Paradise Revisited, 2010, and Crossing Limbo, 2017, as well as a number of prize-winning novels, including After the Flood, 2009, The Ulysses Man, 2011, and In the Shadow of the Conquistador, 2015. Shane is also the editor and owner of BlueDenimPress.com, a literary press that he founded with his wife, Sarah Jacob, in 2011. The co-owner of two travel agencies, he says that his traveling informs his writing. To date, he has visited 65 countries, one for each year of his life, with a few more to spare. Today, he's here to talk about his latest novel, Milltown, released in 2019. So, Shane, you say that your travels have informed your writing, but this time is different, isn't it? Tell us about your latest novel and why you chose the title Milltown. It sounds, on the face of it, rather plain.
Yes. Place is very important in this novel, and I decided to come home for this one. I wanted to write a novel about a life in a small town. It was to be my Peyton Place, or Empire Falls, or Winesburg, Ohio. The town is really the central character in the book, and I bookended the novel with scenes by the lighthouse on the town's pier. The lighthouse represents the eyes of the town. And so therefore, there are a lot of characters in this book, and many voices which make up the whole that is Milltown. And Milltown is the title of the book. I had also used this name for a town in a short story I called Witness, that was published in the first anthology, Hill Spirits, which the Spirit of the Hills group of writers in Northumberland County put out in 2012. So I thought perhaps I could use Milltown as my fictional place, just like Margaret Lawrence's Manawaka. Because I'm planning to set more stories in this town in the future, so why not introduce it up front with all its flaws and get on with it.
And all with all its characters too, not just the its flaws.
That's true.
Because in this book you have crooked politicians, ruthless businessmen, negligent parents, sexual harassment in the workplace, teen pregnancy, bullying, racial prejudice, and more. And it's all packed into this little small town. Is that realistic for a small town?
and you can't forget the crazy psychopathic killer who is roaming around bumping people off. He's there too. Well, you see, the issues that you mentioned and which I have in the book exist in our communities today. But they occur in isolation from each other, one at a time, and often go unnoticed. I wanted to bring all of them together into a kind of a perfect storm, one issue igniting the other in a sort of a chain reaction to show the enormous impact they can have on lives in a small community. So, you know, is it realistic? Of course not. That's why it's a novel. Do these things happen? Of course they do. And by putting them all together and creating this big explosion, I hope that my novel would bring them into sharper focus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because things do go on in small towns. They're not immune, that's for sure. But the story uses a variety of points of view. We hear from many voices. You had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
So how do you choose these voices?
Yeah, and that's interesting because I'm worried about that. You know, I normally have one or two people who kind of drive the narrative. And in this particular case, I had all these people driving the narrative from different directions. And I wondered whether a reader would, you know, get confused. But I also felt that if I did not get into the heads of all these people, I wouldn't really represent the denizens of this town. So I took the bold step, and I'm hoping that, you know, the narrative still flows without being disjointed.
I happen to like multiple points of view, and I think particularly of J.K. Rowling's Casual Vacancy, where you really did get an insight into the projects and into people who lived on the top of the hill and, you know, everybody. And it was fascinating, yeah, just to see all the people and how they interact in this town.
It works sometimes, and in some cases it probably doesn't work, so mm-hmm. let's hope it works this time.
Right? I'm sure it will.
Yeah.
Now, you wrote this book, apparently, back in 2009. Do you mean that you're publishing the original manuscript, or have you been developing it all along? Or how come it's taken these 10 years to get to this point?
Yeah, I my books tend to take a long time before they come out. They have to be written, then they marinate, then they get rewritten a few times. And this particular book I wrote in 2009, I was relatively new in Coburg, which you might say is a proxy for Milltown, small town. And I wasn't sure that I had captured the town and its inhabitants properly, because I'd only been here less than a year and a bit. I hadn't also worked in the town at the time, so I didn't understand the dynamics. So I was sort of concerned that I would infuriate people by representing the issues insensitively. Now, these are typical concerns of emerging writers, and especially, I think, of Canadian writers, who tend to worry about political correctness and, you know, not hurting people's feelings and so on. Well, it's about 10 years now since I wrote the first draft, and I have lived and I worked in this small town during that time, and I have a better handle on things. And so, as I matured here, I continued to revise Milltown extensively. I can't remember how many drafts, but I've picked it up from time to time and added things and taken things out. So I think the book is now more reflective of a small town, and it's more reflective of my expanding awareness of small towns. I have also written many more novels and stories since, and I've seen my writing get bolder. And, you know, you get to a point where you're past caring about political correctness.
Yeah, you know, a story is a story.
I'd rather aim to face the harsher truths of life in the fewer years I have left of this gig, you know? So, go at it.
Well, good on you. So, perhaps you could read to us from Milltown.
Sure, sure. So the opening is this new Sri Lankan immigrant has moved to a small town in Ontario. He's left the big city. He first left his homeland, which was, you know, during the Civil War, because this scene takes place in 2008. The whole action of the book is between 2008 and 2009. And so he's just arrived in the new town. He's bought a little restaurant, and he's going to start life here, and he's hoping that he has escaped all of the problems he had both in Sri Lanka and in Toronto, where even after having come into Canada, he was pursued by Sri Lankan mafia to make contributions to the war effort back home. So he's hoping that the small town, he can bury himself and start anew. So here goes. 12th of March, 2008. Sam Salvadore walked the deserted boardwalk, looking out on the lake and across to the lighthouse, and asked that imposing beacon whether he had come to the right place. There was no answer. The lake stared back at him, frigid under blue March skies, a layer of thin ice suppressing bubbling wavelets that brushed against frozen ones on a dune-like beach covered with a sprinkling of fresh snow. Despite his misgivings, he could smell the freedom in this country. He inhaled deeply, letting the cold creep inside him, refreshing, numbing, ridding his doubts about coming to live in a small town where his foreignness stuck out like that lighthouse at the end of the pier. Out here, he would lose the anonymity of Toronto, where he had been classified as another ethnic. There were a few people out at this mid-hour of the morning, dog walkers and joggers, and middle-aged men and women looking far from trim. An old woman hunched and bundled in an overlong coat pulled a shopping cart along the boardwalk a few steps ahead. She labored under her burden. As Sam moved to overtake her, she looked sideways at him over a tightly wrapped scarf. Panic crossed her face and she stumbled, sending the cart and its contents spilling into the snow. Sam instinctively went to her aid, holding out his hand. She looked at him apprehensively, refusing the offered help, mumbling under her breath and looking around for someone else. But no one else was in the vicinity, and after jerking her head frantically about her, she reluctantly took his extended hand. "Are you hurt?" he asked. What? Her voice was croaky and hoarse. Cigarette smoker, he thought. Are you all right? He enunciated slowly. You speak English? He suppressed a smile. Can I get your things? She straightened her clothes, then felt all over her body for injuries. While he righted the cart and returned her spilled groceries into it, tinned beans, a cabbage, bacon, a packet of hot cross buns, two bananas, a box of cereal, and eggs that looked cracked. I'm afraid your eggs may be broken. You speak English, the woman repeated, shaking her head. She took back possession of her cart and began slowly limping away. Huh, so much for gratitude, Sam thought. He turned left onto the pier and walked down to its end, right up to the lighthouse, where the wind was stronger and the ice broke against the rocks. With his back to the wind, he looked towards the town. The sun warmed his face. Milltown. Population, 20,000, and growing rapidly. Church steeples rose in places over the trees. They were all represented here. Catholic, Anglican, Presbyterian, Baptist, United, even the Jehovah's Witnesses. Marlene was sure to find a home in one of them, having attended a Methodist school back home, even though she was a Buddhist. There was no temple for him, but he had lost his faith in the gods after all that had gone on in Sri Lanka. The town hall stood tall in the downtown core, while evergreens sprouted between the smaller buildings. By next month, there would be more leaves, as those gaunt stalks on the eastern shoreline, maples, oaks, and willows, burst into bloom. Such sturdy trees, unlike the ones back home. They rarely stirred, no matter how strong the winds howled in this cold country. Sam wondered if that was why Canadians were taciturn and composed, unlike his native countrymen who wore their hearts on their sleeves and ended up killing each other. The chemical plant and its myriad white buildings ran down to the water on the western edge of the town. Too close to the water, he thought. The plant worried him. Recent newspaper reports in Toronto had focused on this small town. They had cited the rise of cancers in the area. But then, back home, people had died anyway, taken out of their homes in the middle of the night, asked to say a word in Sinhala, and if accented, doused with gasoline and set on fire. Sam had been forced to witness his own house in Colombo go up in flames. The fact that his wife was a Sinhalese and a Buddhist was no exemption. It may have spared his life, perhaps, but all their earthly possessions had succumbed to conflagration during that night of terror. He shivered. Was there evil in this country, too, hidden behind these benevolent townscape? Lurking in the nooks and crannies of homes and the hidden recesses of people's hearts? The lighthouse would know, for its beacon shone upon everything and everyone during its circulatory night vigils. This lighthouse must know the story of this town, if he could only tap into its fount of secrets.
Thank you, Shane. I wonder if there are secrets lurking behind all those benign buildings.
We'll find out.
We've been talking with Shane Joseph, novelist and publisher, about his latest book, Milltown. And now we'll take a short break.